Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you came to church today. These people right here are. Anybody else? Anybody else glad you came to church today? Nobody on the left side? Some on the right? Okay. Right. Anybody glad you came to church today? Come on now. Come on. Great day. You know, the reality is after this morning's worship, with those testimonies, I probably don't even need to preach. But I'm going to anyway. Because anybody that knows me knows we like to get into the Word. Amen. Hey, just as we were worshiping, I want to share this with you. If you want some notes, you can wave your hand in the air, and we got notes coming, or you can do the digital ones. Also, our middle school class is dismissed right now to head out. We got an incredible class planned for all the middle schoolers, and so grab your friends, head on out. It's going to be good. But if you want some notes and paper ones, we got those for you. But as you're getting those notes, anybody that knows me knows that I'm a huge fan of basketball. Any other basketball fans out there? We're going to convert more of you because it's the most holy sport there is. But I'm a huge basketball fan, and if you know anything about basketball, you know you're never out of it. Like, you could be down by 20, and you're still not out of it, because basketball is called the game of runs, meaning the team's going to go on a run at any minute, and it happens when the momentum shifts. And when the momentum shifts, man, you can feel it. And that's usually when the coach calls a timeout real quick, because he senses the momentum shifted. I just felt like we were in worship this morning that God just whispered to me and said, Ben, the momentum shifted. For Canvas Church, I felt it. I don't know if you felt it, but I felt it. I felt it right about like at the beginning of that second song, and the Holy Spirit just whispered and said, hey, it's shifted. We're about ready to go on a run. And I believe that, and I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here today and you feel, maybe these testimonies ministered to you. At some point in their life, God did something and the momentum shifted. And man, one side of that card was what they were. The other card is now what they are. And I believe for you here this morning, maybe you're going through some stuff. Maybe you're facing some challenges. I just believe that this morning God wants you to know that the momentum shifted. And great things are coming. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Come on. Well, grab your Bibles and go with me to an Old Testament book of the Bible. And we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'm going to share with you what I believe God has put on my heart as, man, we've been going through this Rooted series together. And next week, we're going to close it out. It's going to be fantastic. Today was fantastic. I know the small groups are going to be celebrating throughout the next couple of weeks and even into December. I believe that God's put this message in my heart for us today and in our Rooted series. What's Rooted been about? Rooted's been about this. Read it to you here. Rooted is about going back to the basics of what it means to be a Christ follower, a disciple, and discovering a life of fulfillment. We talked a little bit about that over the last couple weeks, and that's really what it's been about. It's just getting back to some of the basics, gathering together, being in community with one another, prayer, worship, sharing your faith like these ones did. Now, that doesn't mean you have to walk around town with a cardboard in your hand, right? But man, when you just get out and you just share, you have those couple of minutes with somebody, and it happens to me sometimes in the supermarket as I'm checking out, and I'll say hi to somebody, how you doing? I'm okay. Oh, you're only okay? And all of a sudden, it breaks into a three-minute conversation where I can share with them why I'm doing more than okay, right? And just going back to some of those basics. Well, today, as you've already heard, it's a great day because it's Heart for the House Sunday. And last week, we talked about, I like that. It's Heart for the House Sunday. Who is that? And last week, we talked a little bit about generosity and what that means for us as Christ followers and how we're to live a generous life. And ultimately, I know there's people that go back and forth. Well, how much should I give and when should I give and what should I give? Here's the thing. We closed it out last week talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what you need to do. You need to give willfully and cheerfully, right? And according to the measure that you give, it gets measured back to you. That's just Bible. And so today, as we're on Heart for the House Sunday, that's what I've been encouraging people to do. Is just pray and say, hey, God, what would you have me give? And here's my one request is this, is that you honestly pray and say, God, do you want me to be a part of this? And if so, how much would you have me give? And then all I want you to do is be obedient to that. That's it. There's no compulsion. There's no twisting of arms. That's it. You simply pray and say, God, would you have me be a part of this giving today to help propel the vision of Canvas Church further forward? And if so, how much? And then just be obedient to that, whatever he says, and then watch and see. I believe the blessings of God come upon your life. Hey, if you're new to Canvas Church, you might be wondering, well, what is Canvas Church all about? And we have this statement. It's on our website. It's on pretty much everything. I want to read it to you. Canvas exists for people to encounter Jesus. Now, I want to stop right there because a lot of people might think that, okay, so we're just all focused on the lost. Well, we are focused on the lost. The heart of God is focused on the lost. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. He came for the sick, not for the well. That being said, we never stop encountering Jesus as Christ followers. And so, man, it doesn't matter if you're new to the faith or you're checking out the faith or you've been in the faith for a long time. Every Sunday, it's our hope that you would encounter Jesus. Secondly to that you would know the love of God. And then thirdly, that you would realize the incredible plan that he has for your life. It's that simple. And so that's what we're about, and that's what we're doing. We're just exposing people to the good news about Jesus. We're going to continue to talk about it every Sunday. No matter where you're at in your walk, I believe there's something here for you. You can been a Christian for 30 years. Anybody been serving Jesus for 30 years out there? Come on, anybody's been serving Jesus for 40 years? All right, this section, I'm just going to stop because your hand's going to stay up way too long. No matter where you're at, matter of fact, I love this section over here because I'm so encouraged by them. I'm encouraged by their faith. When I say this section over here, there's a group of people that are over 50, and they've been coming to our church since the day we moved in here, and I'm so encouraged by their testimony and what God's done in and through them. And here's what I love is that, honestly, so many of them come to me and say, thank you for preaching the word. I've never heard that way before. I've never heard that before. And I just think that's so cool. And so really every Sunday morning, hopefully that you're receiving something. But today as we get ready for our giving, our heart for the house, my whole message is not going to be about that. But I wanted to highlight before I preach some of the things that your giving has accomplished over the last couple of years, because I kind of feel like there was a year in there where maybe some of you couldn't be as connected and maybe you missed out on some of your what your giving has done. So I just want to share with you real quickly, over the last couple of years, really since we've partnered with these ministries, what your giving has done. We've partnered with APAVE. Did I say that right? Yeah, come on. It's APV, and here's what I love about all the places that we give. They are ran by people in our church, and so we can look at the fruit. We can see their heart. We know it's going towards a good cause, and so APAVE is overseen by Pastors Debbie and Miguel, and it stands for Abstinence, Purity, and Value. And check this out. Since we've partnered with them, over 760 have been in attendance. And you say in attendance to what? They do these purity camps. It's now in Cuba. It started out in Mexico. And the reason it started out in Mexico is because God put it on their heart to share a way out of a lifestyle. Three out of every five women has been sexually abused at some point in their life in Mexico, and one out of every five men. And so God had put it on their heart to say, hey, we're going to teach them that they still are somebody in Christ Jesus and that he can redeem. And so now that they went from Mexico, it's now in Cuba, and it's going to another country. Where's it going? Where? Vietnam. And so it's expanding. Check this out. Since we partnered financially with them just a couple years ago, over 83 people have given their heart to Jesus at those camps. And during COVID, where we couldn't do it live, over 400 attended online. Isn't that awesome? And so people are being reached, and so we've given to that, and we're going to continue. As a matter of fact, 10% of everything that comes in today is going to go to APAVE and hopefully start the new one in Vietnam, right? And so I'm excited about that. We believe in this. Another one, Seeds of Hope, also overseen by someone that attends the church here. We gave, I think it was in 2019's Heart for the House, we gave enough money to open up a new clubhouse in El Salvador, which opened on November 5th. And what these clubhouses do is they teach them English, they teach them Christian values, they teach them relationship values, there's relationship courses, there's personal growth courses, and the whole focus, because there's a large amount of sex trafficking that's taking place, is to pull them out of that lifestyle and equip them with the things they need so they don't get caught up in that lifestyle. And because of your giving, we graduated 35 of those students. Isn't that awesome? We opened up a brand new clubhouse and graduated 35 students. It's pretty phenomenal. Herald of Faith is where our missions dollars go every single month, which is overseen by Pastor Steve. Actually, it's overseen now by Pastors Debbie and Miguel as Pastor Steve has passed the baton. And Herald of Faith, the big focus of Herald of Faith is going into villages, remote places. So not necessarily targeting the places that are already being targeted by lots of missions groups, but it's targeting the little villages, some of the most remote places, and they go in and they find somebody that has a heart for Jesus. They train them, equip them, resource them, help build a church, and then start a brand new church in that area. And then the training continues on through Bible colleges and resources. Check this out. Because of your giving, we touched 10 countries just in the last couple of years. India, Uganda, Kenya, Mexico, Honduras, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and Haiti. Check this out. Over 500 pastors and leaders have been raised up and trained because of your giving through Herald of Faith. Come on, isn't that awesome? Think about that. How much influence that is, and just incredible. Just in the last year, we partnered with Casa de Amparo, which is right here in San Marcos, which is a foster care place, and we've partnered with them. Man, they grabbed our heart with the foster care system, and I think we're just connected now, and I think we're going to have just an ongoing relationship with them. And they provide services for 525 kids and 325 families yearly, okay? That's yearly. Check this out. We donated 18 boxes of essential items for their welcome baskets. This included things like blankets, stuffed animals, activity books, personal hygiene, different types of things. They estimated that the value was over $3,000 of what you gave to help out there. We did it again. We partnered with them again for our school supplies. How many of you guys remember the school supplies drive we did with them? And so we gave all the stuff they would need to go into this storehouse and shop for what they needed for their school, and they valued that at over $2,500. That's your generosity. That's your giving. And it's impacting families right here. Last year, and in our Heart for the House weekend, we said, hey, we're going to start a youth and family center, and we're going to see what it becomes and how we can minister. Well, if you haven't checked it out yet, we have a gymnasium that we finished January of this year, which is right over there. It's still got some things that we're doing with it. It's not fully complete. But during COVID, we finished that out, not fully knowing what was going to happen, but during COVID, that serviced 5 high school teams, about 4 club teams, and 3 middle school teams. And the majority of that was free of charge. We just said, hey, they got no place to go, no place to practice, no place for their kids to play, and we opened up our doors. And the people that were working it from our church heard testimony after testimony after testimony that this is amazing that a church would do this. This is amazing that a church would build this. This is amazing. Well, the great thing is it continues on today, that literally hundreds of families, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of families, if you're ever driving by your church on a weeknight and you look and see the parking lot full and you're wondering, what's going on there? I didn't get the message. That's the gym full of families and full of young people. And that gym is being used every single night of the week except for Sunday night right now. And so if you have an idea that you want to use the gym for on Sunday night, come let us know. We're reaching the community. And so we're reaching the community. We're letting schools practice there. There's club teams practicing there. And now we've started, I don't know if you can pull up this website or that'd be too hard, but we've started House of Hoops SD. And because I'm a basketball lover, we also have a full-blown gym in there where people get trained, like weights. It's insane. Someone donated $14,000 worth of equipment. And so now, not only are we just blessing the community, we've actually turned this into something to where we're actually training kids for athletics. And what's awesome about that is it's been a great resource for the church. So now income is coming into the church, and we've actually been able to provide jobs for people to work. Isn't that awesome? And so that's because of your giving, your generosity. And so I wanted to take a moment and celebrate that and thank you before we get into the message. Now today, as you leave, you're going to see a Christmas tree out there in the lobby. And you might be thinking, it's a little early for Christmas, Pastor. We haven't even done Thanksgiving yet. Well, we start our giving tree on Heart for the House Sunday every single year. Our giving tree is simply this. It's where you can pick up ornaments off the tree, and you have to get signed up. There'll be somebody back there. They have to sign you out so they know who took the ornament. And what that ornament represents, it represents a child in need. It represents a child in need possibly right here within our church. And that's what's so great about the church. Those that have can help those that are in need right now, because you never know when those scales are going to flip. Are you with me? Sometimes we abound, sometimes we're abased, like Paul says. Sometimes we have, sometimes we don't. So now for those that have, we can go pick an ornament and we say, hey, I'm going to bless this child that's completely anonymous. That's where one of it. The other place it goes is it goes to provide gifts for children whose parents are incarcerated in prison. We've partnered with Angel Tree many years ago, and we said, hey, we're going to help with that, and we're going to help bless these kids whose parents are in prison and can't get gifts for their kids for Christmas. And so I want to encourage you today that you would go out there and find one of those ornaments and start your Christmas shopping early and bless somebody in need. Literally hundreds upon hundreds of gifts every year go out because of your generosity. So, come on, give yourself a hand, Canvas Church. All right, well, we're going to jump into the Word, and I'm going to do my best to preach at a record pace, which, if you know, my pace is normally an hour, so a record pace could be 59 minutes. Come on, somebody. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get you out of here before dinner. Ezekiel chapter 47, I want to preach to you just as quickly as I can on the church that I see. And the church that I see, I believe, is one that God sees as well for Canvas. And I think it's summed up here in Ezekiel 47. And if you're wondering what the church is, the church, the word ecclesia in the Bible, it simply means this. It's a called out group of people. Called out group of people. It's a called out and called together group of people. That's the church. The church is not a building. Before we're in this building, we were in a theater. Before we're in that theater, we were in schools. Before we're in that school, sometimes we were in another school, and sometimes the school didn't open for us, and we were meeting outside. True story. But no matter what it is, we were the church, because the church isn't a building. The church is people. The church is the called out and called together. And so you and I, we make up the church. These other church buildings that you see, those people in there, they make up the church. It's the called out, called together. I love the way 2 Peter 2:9 puts it. Says this, it says, for you are, say I am. Come on, everybody, say I am. Yeah, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And I love this next part. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what those people were doing when they came up with those testimonies. They were saying, hey, this is what my life was like before. And then they flipped and said, this is what my life is like now. We're called out, we're called together, and because of that, we have a purpose, we have a plan, and God has a plan for us. I used to give this definition of the church, and I think it's a great one for Canvas Church. The church is imperfect people. Come on, how many can relate to that one? I guess I'm the only one. The church is imperfect people who have gathered together to seek a God who loves them in their imperfections. Man, God loves us in our imperfections. We've come to that understanding that, like, man, the church isn't perfect people. We're not perfect people. We still got flaws. We're still in process. We're still working through some stuff. But in that, guess what? God is still using us to do something incredible. Come on, right here in this community. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47, let me give you the context. The children of Israel have been in bondage now for 25 years. What do I mean bondage? They've been exiled from their city. They no longer have a city they call their own. They've been taken over by Babylon. And now 25 years into this, this guy named Ezekiel begins to get a revelation or a vision from God. This vision starts in chapter 40, and for seven chapters, this vision runs. And we're going to read a portion of the last part of the vision. So I want you to keep in mind, this is a vision. Now, when God gives visions, he speaks to people in terms, in concepts, and in imagery that they can understand. Are you with me? When God speaks to you, he speaks to you differently than he speaks to me. He speaks to me in basketball. Come on, somebody. He speaks to you a different way. Why does God do that? God is good, and he wants to speak to you in a way that you can comprehend and you can understand. And so there's imagery in this vision that we're going to read that I want to take moments to explain. Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1, this is the vision. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. That's the church. Ezekiel is seeing an image of the church, but the only way he can describe it is a temple. And we're going to see some people here in just a moment. And there was water flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. Why? Because the temple faced east. So here's the church, and the church is set up, and it's facing a specific direction, and the direction in which it's facing, the water is flowing. Now, let me just pause right there. Water in Scripture, specifically in the Old Testament, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit or the presence of God. And so what's happening here is as Ezekiel is getting this vision, he's seeing the church and he's seeing something flow out. And the only way he can describe what he sees flowing out is he describes it as a river. That's his terminology. That's what he's describing. Flowing out from the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside of the other gate that faced east. The water was trickling from the south side. As the man went to the east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile. It led me through the water, and it came to my ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water, and it came to my knees. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water, and it came to my waist. Are you grabbing the picture here? The further that Ezekiel got away from the church, the deeper the river was. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. Verse 6, he asked me, "Do you see this, son of man?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I returned, I saw a very large number of trees along the sides of the riverbank. I want to pause here again. What did he see? This is what Ezekiel saw. He saw trees. Now, in his mind, he saw a very natural picture of trees standing beside this flowing river. But the Bible would tell us in Psalms that the righteous, that's talking about believers, it's talking about saints, it's talking about Christ followers, that the righteous are like trees planted in the house of the Lord. I believe what Ezekiel was seeing here that he describes as trees, this very large number of trees, was people. And he said to me, this water flows out of the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, listen to this now, the water of the sea becomes fresh. When it enters the sea of foul water, the water becomes fresh. I believe with all my heart what Ezekiel was seeing here was he was seeing the culture. He was seeing the culture that was foul. He was seeing the culture that was ungodly. He was seeing the culture that was perverse. But yet wherever the river flowed, whatever the river touched was no longer foul, but it became fresh. Because check this out. Look at what the next description is. Every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows. And there will be a huge number of fish because of where the water goes. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside it from that place and that place. These will become places where nets are spread out to dry. Listen to this part. Their fish will consist of many different kinds. Red, yellow, black, and white. You know the rest of that song? Like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. All kinds of trees providing food will grow along both of the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be used for food and their leaves for medicine. What a powerful image Ezekiel had. And I believe Ezekiel was seeing the church. And he was seeing in images that he could begin to describe. And he was seeing people, and he was seeing lives being touched and transformed. He's seeing a flow of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4, New Testament. You don't need to turn there. Jesus encounters a woman who needs grace. They have a conversation. She's at this well. She's drawing water. And they have this conversation about water, but it's not about water. It's about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus answered this woman and said, whoever drinks of this water, meaning the well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, the Holy Spirit will never thirst. But the water that I shall give, listen to it now, him will become in him, in you, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The water flowing from the church, whatever it touches will be healed. I want to speak to you for the next few moments on the life-giving church. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray in the next few moments that we have together, Lord, first of all, you'd help me preach quickly in a way that everybody can grasp. Who said amen on that? My wife said amen on that. God, I pray you'd help me preach quickly and concisely, and that we would walk out of here having just grasped hold of what you want to communicate to this body today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. I'm going to share with you a story that maybe some of you heard before, but it's such a good one, it's worth sharing again. A couple of years back, my wife and I were renting a house, beautiful house from a friend of ours, and we treated it like we do always with anything. We treated this thing like it was our own. And so we would fix things up, we would patch things, we would just continue to beautify this place. And in this house, the dishwasher didn't work real well. Anybody ever had one of those where the dishwasher doesn't work real well? And it can be a brand new dishwasher, right? But you put the dishes in, they still come back with chunks on it. And so we were in the habit of washing our dishes before the dishwasher washed them. Anybody else do that? Yeah, I don't know why we do that. It's a waste of water, people. It was so bad that I was done with it one day. And so I went and I found a dishwasher on sale, and we brought it home. And it had sat there for a couple of days. And I was kind of like, I need to get that in. And so we got back from Saturday night prayer. We had Saturday night prayer at the time. We got back from Saturday night prayer, I don't know, around 7:30. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm just going to throw this thing in real quick. First mistake, right? Everything takes way longer than you think it's going to take, right? And so I just thought, it's not that hard. You disconnect this and you unplug that, you slide it in, you reconnect it, you plug it in, and you're going to have dishes, right? And she just kind of looked at me and said, are you sure you want to do that? I said, yeah, babe, it's not a big deal. I've done this before. And so sure enough, man, I got all the preparations. I got a little rag out. I got a little container so that when you undo the little, whatever that's called. I'm so good at this. Yeah, the hose part. Once you shut it off, there's going to be a little bit of water that's going to dribble in, right? And so I got that ready, and I turned it off, and I unplugged, and then I unscrewed that thing, and all of a sudden the water started coming. And she's like, is that normal? And I said, yeah, there's just some water in the line. It'll bleed out. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, there is no way there should be that much water in the line. And the water keeps coming, and the water keeps coming, and the water keeps coming. And I'm like, hey, babe, we're going to need a bigger bucket. Come on, somebody. And I was like, go get another bucket. And so she goes and gets another bucket. And this water is just like gushing. It's only a tube about that big. But there is a ton of water gushing out. And I'm like, this is not supposed to be happening right now. And she's like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know. She goes, did you shut it off? And I'm like, yes, I shut it off. But water just keeps coming. And I'm like, hey, babe, we need to figure this out. And so at this point, water is now coming out of the bucket, and it's getting all over the floor. And we had a little drop off that then went to a wood floor. And so I'm freaking out. Remember, I rent this place. I'm freaking out. I'm like, I'm fine with it being on the tile. It just can't get on the wood floor. And so I'm like, we need to do something. And so the kids start running and grabbing towels, kid you not, and we're building a dam so it doesn't go onto the wood. This is a true story. That's how much water. Now, this is about 15 feet away, mind you, of where this little hose is at. There is so much water, and I am freaking out. And I'm just like, I have to go shut off the main. And so they're grabbing towels. They're grabbing blankets. One of our kids is laying there on its side trying to, like, push the water away. I mean, the water's getting everywhere. And I'm just freaked. So I go to where the main water thing is, and I pull up the lid, and there's no shut off. And so now I'm freaking out. I'm like, where's the shut off? And now, mind you, we started this project at about 7:30. It is now probably about 8:15. And I'm freaking out because I don't know what. So then I get this great idea. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go grab a hose off of the spigot outside, and I'll just stick that big hose around that little thing. And so the water will shoot into it, and we can just direct the water outside until we get this figured out. So I go to take that hose off the spigot, and as I do, the spigot breaks, and now a geyser of water. Has anybody ever had that day before? I kid you not, the Bellagio water show is happening in my backyard. Water is shooting like 40 feet high. I'm not even exaggerating. And all I hear when I go like this in the water, she goes, "Whatever you did, it worked." And I'm like, "No, it didn't." She's like, "Yes, it did." I'm like, "No, it didn't." I mean, now we got water trickling here. We got a 40-foot geyser, and I'm freaking out. I'm pretty sure the neighbors are like wondering, who is the crazy? They're like, "Oh, yeah, he's a pastor. He's a crazy pastor, right?" Because I'm yelling. Now kids are freaking out. They're grabbing blankets and towels, and my wife's yelling, "It's working. It's got this geyser going." And I'm like, "What are we going to do?" So I call the owner, and she lives in another state. It's like midnight her time, and I'm like, "Look, this is what's going on." And she's totally calm about it because she trusts us. She didn't see it. And she's just like, "Well, the water main." And I'm like, "I went there. It's not there." And she goes, "Oh, you know what? It's pretty deep, and sometimes gophers bury it." Whatever. And I said, "But the thing is, I shouldn't have had to shut that off." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, the shutoff under the sink is broken." No kidding. 40-foot geyser. Finally, we get that thing shut off, and we get that thing dealt with and taken care of. It is literally probably close to midnight right now. My kids are soaked. I'm soaked. The floor is soaked. Every towel, every blanket in the house is soaked. All of a sudden, my oldest looks at me and goes, "Dad, can we jump in the pool?" I'm like, "Why not? It's only Sunday tomorrow." It was just this little tiny hose. And it just started a little bit at the very point, but by the time it got over here, it was this massive flood. Because here's the thing, it's not about the size of the hose, it's about the size of what's inside of the hose coming through the hose. See, it's not about the size of the church. It's not about how big our church is or how many campuses we have or how many people attend or how much it's not about that. It's about the size of the Holy Spirit flowing in and through the church that makes the impact. Isn't that what the Bible says? Wherever two or three are gathered together. Listen to me. There are people in other countries where there are two or three people gathered around a tree right now having church. And the same Holy Spirit that flows in a church of thousands flows in a church of two or three. Because it's not about the size of the church. It's about the size of the Holy Spirit flowing through the church. And wherever the river went, wherever the water went, look at what it said. It said it started out as a trickle. But the further away that got, the deeper it got, the more impact it had. Until he saw trees on either side. So you need to understand something. That it's not about the size of what's taking place here. It's about the size of what's taking place inside of the church. The life-giving river. The Holy Spirit inside of us. I just want to share with you a couple of things that I see in this passage that a life-giving church, Canvas Church, needs to understand. The first one is this. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. The Spirit of God flows in and through you and I as the church. The Spirit of God is not just some entity floating out here, you know, like, whoa, what's it? No, the Spirit of God is flowing in and through his people to bring an impact, first here, then out there. That's why when you come together, have you ever been there before? You come on a Sunday morning, maybe you're not doing that great, maybe it was this morning, all of a sudden you walk in, and all of a sudden, man, we get into worship. Listen, it's not about worship. It's not about how great but man, wasn't worship incredible today? So good. But listen to me, it's not about how great they sound. They sounded great. It's not about all the other stuff. Because you know what? The same Spirit of God can flow without any of that. But you ever walk into a church and maybe, man, you've just been dealing with some stuff that week and all of a sudden you walk out of church and you just feel completely different, completely better? Like, man, what just took place? You encountered the Spirit of God flowing in and through the church. Mike, I get testimonies all the time from people. Like, "Hey, Pastor, I felt the presence of God today. Or, Pastor, this happened today. And, Pastor, I want to thank you for this because I felt this." It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what the Spirit of God is doing. You got to understand something. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. Now, listen to me. You're not the church when you come on Sunday morning. You're the church all the time. So wherever you go, wherever the river goes, whatever the river touches was ministered to, was healed. And it doesn't matter. That's why we can have such a big impact, the impact I read to you through our giving. What are we doing? We're sending people. We're sending the Spirit of God flowing in and through the church to impact people. But that's what's so great about when we do come together, right? When we do come together, there's something powerful about that. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We equip one another. We challenge one another. We push one another on in the faith. When we were going through those times where we were shut down and people couldn't gather, yes, we did our best to be online, but I haven't heard from people that eventually came back were like, man, it's so good to be back. Why is that? Because it's so good to be around other believers and be encouraged and being strengthened and being prayed for and being equipped and being... Here's why that's so important, because the Spirit of God flows in and through the church. And we need the Spirit of God. I mean, the Bible tells us, in Zechariah 4:6, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the very Spirit of God. Here's what happens sometimes. Life ain't going so well. We come back to church. We get into church. And all of a sudden, man, things feel good. And we're coming to church, and we're here, and we're around the body of believers, and we're strengthening, we're equipping, we're growing. We're in our rooted small group, and having the groups been amazing. Well, what's happening? You're around the life-giving flow. You're around the presence. You're in the river. And all of a sudden, what happens too oftentimes, though, is like, I feel so good. I don't think I need church anymore. Now, here's the thing. You would probably never verbalize that. But you wake up on one Sunday morning, you're like, I'm all right. I'm good. Maybe I'll catch it online later this week. I'm good. Next Sunday, I'm good. Third Sunday, I'm okay. Right? Fourth Sunday, it's like, I can make it. Fifth Sunday, like, man, what's going on in my world right now? The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. Are you with me? Second thing I see here is what happens in the church is not meant to stay in the church. What happens, now let me say this, what happens in you, what God has done in you, the testimonies that we're all standing up here, what happened in them is not meant to stay in them. What does the Bible say in Revelation? It says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the work that Christ did on the cross, and by the word of our testimony. Man, we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We say, hey, here's what Christ has done. Look at what he did. What does that mean for you? Oh, let me tell you my testimony. Here's what it meant to me, means to me practically. And what happens in you, what happens in the church, isn't meant to stay in the church. And what happens here as we gather together on a Sunday morning isn't meant to stay in here on a Sunday morning. Man, this is a great place, and small groups is great, and all that, and it's a good place to come. You say, well, Pastor, what's our focus? Our focus is equipping the saints. Equipping one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, so that when we leave here, we can be an impact. Are you with me? This isn't Vegas, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and so do you because you lost everything, right? I lived in Vegas for 3.5 years. You know how many people I met that didn't intend to be there? A lot. Listen, this isn't Vegas. What happens in the church isn't meant to stay in the church. It's meant to flow out and become a deep river. And look at what it does. It brought food for people, and it brought healing for people. Let me put it in these terms. It brought hope for people, and it brought healing for people. That's the imagery. Man, the church is meant to be a place of hope and healing. Not just here, but everywhere you go. To your job place. Man, to the supermarket. Man, you remember the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Y'all remember that one? Some of you are like, no, that's a new one. Yeah, we're gonna do it next week. I thought I would have saw some flashlights come out, you know, some phone lights, you know. See, if you understand this, if you understand that what happens in you, what happens in the church isn't meant to stay in the church, but it's supposed to flow. It changes everything. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you talk, the way you speak, the way you spend. It puts you on mission 24/7. It changes everything. That means everything that happens today, man, is an opportunity for me to share Jesus with somebody else. Share Jesus? Fine. It's an opportunity for me to share my testimony with somebody else. Just simply, hey, this is what my life was like before. I mean, you can argue whether Jesus is real or not, but I know this. This is what life was like before. This is what it's like now. And it changes everything. It's like now everywhere you go, you're like a secret agent. It's true. It's true. I mean, those moments when your wife calls you, when you're at the supermarket and you've already checked out and you're in your car ready to pull away and she says, hey, babe, are you still at the store? I forgot we need milk. I mean, this is theoretical, of course. How many husbands know what I'm talking about right now? Thank you. I called you 10 times in the store and you forgot the milk? But see, now rather than being irritated, you're like, yes! I get to go back in there. There's somebody in. You know what she was doing? She's like on the other end. This is like Charlie's Angels. She's Charlie, I'm an angel. Come on, somebody. And she's like, hey, I got another mission for you. I need you to go back in the store. And you're like, yeah! It changes everything. You're not upset with your wife anymore. You're like, babe, could you forget something like again? Like, hey, if there's two items, don't tell me the next one until I come out to my car. Again. I mean, if I change, it's like you have 10 items, I'm going to 10 different stores. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm on mission. Changes everything. Because I understand what's happening in me. Let's just stay here. I'm going to impact. I'm going to impact somebody. Reminds me of another song. I don't know. I mean, the other one, a lot of you have heard. I don't know if you heard this one. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Oh, yeah, see, I knew somebody was going to go there. Somebody even went with emotions. They were like out of their chair. They're like, spring up. And some of you are sitting there like, this is the weirdest church I've ever been in my life. What are they doing? Why is this person going like that? What's happening? There was a weird phase in the church, people. All right? We had motions to songs, okay? It was like late 80s, early 90s, never going back, all right? It's kind of like your rap music, bad era, okay? Don't go there. But think about that, man. I got this river of life. Isn't that what Jesus said to the woman at the well? Hey, you taste what the world offers, it's going to leave you thirsty. You drink from this well, and man, it's gonna be a fountain flowing out of you into eternal life. Yeah. What happens in the church doesn't stay in the church. Number three, you know, go ahead, worship team, come on up. You're like, Pastor, there's three more points. I know, that's why I invited the worship team up to hurry me along. Number three, where we focus is where we impact. It says, and the water flowed from the east. Why? Because the entrance faced east. Whatever we focus on, we will impact. We focused on Casa de Ampara. We impacted. We focused on Apeve. We impacted. Whatever we focus, where's our focus going? I mean, 2021 to me was really almost like a rebuilding season. I think there's still some of that intact, some rebuilding taking place personally for our lives. Maybe just reevaluating. I know a lot of people went through a reevaluation period. Like, hey, does this stuff really matter? I don't know about you. I think going through COVID really made me ask that question, what really matters? What really matters? What really matters? Shift our focus. I think we're still in some seasons of rebuilding, but like I felt this morning in worship, I believe, man, the momentum switched, it's flipped, it's on our side. Great things are coming. The children's ministry, the youth ministry, adult ministry, small groups for our community. I really feel like God's asking us to focus on our children's ministry this year. Like full on, like, let's go after it. I don't know fully what that means. God's bringing people and people are getting involved in the children's ministry, but I do know this, it's been a spiritual revamping. That's what we've been going through, Rooted. Going back to some of the basics of discipleship, but also the money that comes today, Heart for the House, we're gonna revamp that children's space. Our goal is to start that through Christmas and have everything rocking by Easter 2022. I'm excited. Families coming, children coming. This is our heart. Our heart is, I don't know if you know, but this first two-thirds of the building is all kids' space, and then there's one-third that's office space. My heart is that, man, that thing grows so much, we don't even have office space there. That we just have so many kids, and man, we just make a huge impact. Just go around a 5-mile radius of this building. There's a lot of kids. And you know what I love about Canvas Church and what I love about where we're at? It's so multi-ethnic. You know, we've had so many people that have come to Canvas Church and they're like, you know what I love about the church, Pastor? I said, what's that? There's so many different races represented. I said, well, isn't that what heaven's gonna be? Pastor, did you just say Canvas was a piece of heaven? 100%. Unashamedly. But I believe as we begin to focus on this children's ministry, and some of that will funnel into the youth ministry, young people, man, the youth have been crushing it. Man, I think like right now outside of Sunday, one of my favorite nights is Wednesday night when we come on here and do our small groups. There's like several small groups meeting around on campus, and then there's the young people, and it's just like, man, this is awesome. We're going to revamp that space, and we're going to see, I believe, as we touch the children, we're going to see the whole entire family come. I believe that. Where we focus is where we impact, and we've been really, through our outreach, through Anthony and Nisi, really focusing intentionally just on Escondido and the surrounding area. Some of it's touching San Marcos. Right outside, I got a huge heart for Ramona and Valley Center and Fallbrook, but we're focusing. We're going to see a huge impact. Number four, let me finish up here. Number four, the further the reach, the deeper his presence. The further the reach, the deeper his presence. He measured off a third, it was ankle. He measured off a third, it was knee. He measured off a third, it was waist. He measured off a third, it was a river. It was a river that couldn't even be crossed. God's heart is to seek and save the lost. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to a place of repentance. And so as we continue to further our reach into the schools, we're working with organizations that's going to get us into the police departments and sheriff's departments so that we can be first responders and minister to needs right there in the immediate, in the now. But the further our reach, the deeper his presence. Listen to me. It's fun coming in here and worshiping together. And man, I felt the presence of God so strong in here. But according to the vision, we should feel the presence of God even stronger when we're out there reaching. Why is that? Because you probably need him a lot more out there. Further the reach, the deeper his presence. I'll finish with this. Number five, whatever the church touches is transformed. Wherever the river went, it touched the foul water, it became fresh. The scripture says, whatever that river touched, man, it was transformed. It was transformed. It was transformed. It was transformed. Wherever you go, man, is transformed. Your job place is transformed. I'll never forget. I'll end with this story. I'll never forget. When I was going through college, actually, even when our early years of marriage, I was a valet. One of the most fun jobs ever. driving other people's fancy cars. Worked in downtown Seattle, parking cars. And God elevated me really quickly in that job place. And when it came time for us to transition out of that and move to San Diego and get into full-time ministry, our first ministry assignment as youth pastors, I didn't realize the impact I had. But when I would share with people that night, it wasn't even a big deal to me. It was like, I'm leaving a job. But as I would share with people leading up to my departure, every single one of them looked at me and shared a story about how I impacted their life without even realizing I impacted their life. Shared with me about how, you know, there was this one time I reached out to you and said I couldn't work, and you asked me what was wrong, and I said, well, my mom's going through this, and your response back was, hey, I'll be praying for her. Let me know how I can help. Said that ministered to me. They didn't use those words, but touched me. I literally story after story after story after story. Why is that? Because wherever the river goes, it's not me. It's not Ben Brinkman. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Tell your story. Share the love of God with others. Everywhere the river goes, it's touched. What's today's Heart for the House all about? It's not about the dollar amount. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about lives being transformed. Some of you, God's speaking to you to give this amount, and it's a big amount. And if anybody saw it, they'd be like, well, that's a big amount. But to you, it's not even about that. To you, it's like about your heart. How can I not give it? This is what God told me to give. And I'll be honest with you, in years past, I've literally prayed for specific amounts. And as we were getting ready for Heart for the House, I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit and said, Ben, it's not about a dollar amount. Why are you praying for a dollar amount? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, it's about life transformation and it's about people's hearts. That's what we preached about last week. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so last night in our prayer time, our pursuit night, we had this simple prayer. God, speak to everyone. And whatever you speak to them, I pray they'd be obedient to do. And as they do it, I pray that your blessings would pour back upon them. But I am going to ask you today, church, maybe you're checking it out for the very first time, you can still participate. Maybe it's your second or third time, you can still participate. Maybe this is your home church and this is what you call home. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pray right now with me. Some of you have already prayed and said, hey, I already know what I'm to give. Awesome. My wife and I, we prayed and last night together, and then this morning when I woke up, I was just like, babe, I don't think that's what we're supposed to, I think we're supposed to give more. And she didn't look at me and be like, what? She was like, okay, what are we supposed to give? And so we prayed about it as we got ready, and then I said, what did the Holy Spirit speak to you? And she told me, and I was like, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And so we're going to do that. And so this is what I want to do. Very simple. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And if you've been coming to Canvas Church, you know this, that every Sunday we tell you how you can give. We take like maybe 60 seconds. Hey, if you want to give, here's how you can do that today. This box at the back. I think if you've been coming long enough, you know that we've never taken 30 minutes each Sunday to try to compel you to give. It's not our job. It's, man, you give according to each. But 2 Corinthians 9 says, you give as you purpose in your heart. And whatever you do, just don't do it grudgingly and don't do it out of compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever he speaks. So I'm going to say this simple prayer. And then what's going to happen is this, is we have some buckets up here. Why do we put buckets up here? Because I believe that a lot of people are going to participate, and standing in line at the black boxes might not be fun. So it's that simple. So we have some buckets up here. We have the black boxes in the back. And I know some of you, like I said, you've been praying towards this, saying, okay, God, what do you want us to give? I got a text message from somebody this morning saying, hey, pastor, we've been praying, and this is what God told us to give. And I love their heart behind it. They were just like, we just wanted to share that with you. So you know where our heart's at. And I was just like, man, I know your heart. It's a great heart. Thank you for that. Maybe some of you hadn't had the opportunity. Maybe you're here for the first time. You're like, you didn't even know it's Heart for the House Sunday. That's okay. As I pray, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And whatever he speaks to you, do that. All right? So I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. As I dismiss, we got buckets here. We got the giving boxes in the back. We got some in the cafe, I think, too. And then if you need prayer for anything, man, I would love a chance to pray for you. Some of our small groups, pastors will be up here. Anything you're going through. But here's my encouragement to you today is take this message and go be the life-giving church that God has called us to be. God, I love you. And I thank you so much for this beautiful community. God, you've so graciously allowed me to be the pastor of Canvas Church, God, for almost 9 years, coming into 9 years this March. And God, it's a true blessing and an honor. Lord, I'm so thankful that you would entrust the team, Lord God, with this privilege and this honor. God, thank you for entrusting us with resources, with this facility. And Lord, all we want to do is we want to be wise stewards so that we can continue to be a life-giving church. And God, I thank you that we can impact millions, because it's not about the size, it's about the flow. God, it's about who's flowing through us. Holy Spirit, you flowing through us has a huge impact. And so I pray that as we conclude 2021 and we begin to think about 2022, that God, our hearts will be stretched, our gifts will be stretched, and we would increase and make a massive impact for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray right now pray with me, that you'd speak to every single person in this place what they are to give today, and they would listen to that, and they would give that, and that blessings would flow their way. Now just take 30 seconds and just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, as we give today, Lord, I thank you for the encouragement, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 once again. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we give today, God, I pray for those that are maybe in financial need, Lord, that you would show them that you're their provider and you would supply for all their needs. God, those that might be here today are looking for a job and a new job, a better job, whatever it might be, I pray that, God, you'd open up the doors for them and that you would show them the way forward. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, let us be the life-giving church. Amen. 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 Hey, God bless you. We got the buckets up here. We'll spread them out if you want to come up here. We got the boxes in the back. If you need prayer for anything, hey, come on up. And don't miss next Sunday. It just keeps getting better and better and better and better. You don't want to miss as we conclude our Rooted series. It's going to be powerful. Come on, pray. Yeah, pray over that. Believe that God's going to reward. God's going to bless. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you need prayer, come on up.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.